Today, salvation has come to this house. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Many years ago, serving a psychiatric lockdown unit as a hospital chaplain, I would sometimes be called when patients had reached a high pitch of agitation. During these on-the-ledge conversations, I would ask, what time zone is heaven in? What time zone is heaven in? They might reply. What does that mean? Heaven's time zone is now. It is always now. The past no longer matters. And the future is always a tangle of conflicting possibilities. All we have is now. Now is all there ever is. For those of us who do not live on the edge of sanity, we might say reality, the insight of heaven's now is no less important. The effects of rebellion against God in the Garden of Eden trace back to this loss, the loss of now. You see, time began ticking. Now slipped away. The perfect moment of the day soon began to dim to darkest night. The fullness of the flower's bloom wilted as each petal collapsed from within. Slowly, but inescapably, with the loss of eternal now, the inexorable descent into death had begun. It is the very nature of heaven to be in the fullness of now. A holy sister who guided me during my seminary years would say, we will be resurrected in all of our beauty, whatever that may be for each of us. Will we assume our former state as innocent children? Will we materialize once again as young adults in the prime of life? We will be resurrected in all of our beauty, whatever that might mean for each of us. Anything that precedes or follows fullness is not perfect. Now, that is the ideal of Eden, of heaven, and of all our hopes. Last week, we reflected on the Greek word metanoite, which means go back. Go back to the place where you made a wrong turn. When St. Jerome translated this word for his Vulgate Bible nearly 300 years later, he chose the phrase penitentiam agite, which means do penance, and which carries a sense of urgency with the command agite, which, by the way, lies at the heart of our word agitated. But there was no sense of agitation in Jesus' words. Rather, people would have heard amnesty. Forget things done in the past. That's over. You no longer stand accused or imprisoned. Reclaim your former self. Amnesty. This is the spirit in which we should read our gospel lesson this morning. For today is Zacchaeus Sunday, marking the beginning of our mental preparation for a great Lent. His Arabic name means pure or innocent. His physical stature is nearly childlike. We know something of his interior life, for he climbs a high sycamore, not the sort of a thing adults do, but which children are drawn to. Yet, entering his adult years, Zacchaeus took the wrong path. Growing up in occupied Palestine, he saw that young men had two primary career paths lying before him. They stand at the crossroads. On the one side, We see a path that leads to Jewish religious life, practicing the fine art of skirting Roman life wherever possible. To the other side, a path that embraces the Hellenized culture all around him, forgetting or even hiding Jewish identity. You see, we are too much taken in by Hollywood movies where some of the characters are dressed as Roman tribunes, procurators, soldiers, yet most are wearing the robes and drab gowns from central casting, which we associate with the great mass of Jews. The reality, though, was far different. The world all over the Eastern Mediterranean was a Greek world, having a Greek culture. Just as in modern Israel today, only a minority of the people were devout religious Jews. First century Judeans, indeed most of the known world, had for generations grown up in a Hellenized world. Many of their cities were after the Greek classical style, with beautiful arcaded agoras and Roman Colosseum style arenas. If you visit, the Acropolis or Caesarea Maritima today, you will see these buildings. You think that you're in classical Greece. The young men attended gymnasiums and engaged in Hellenic sports, including what we would call Olympic events, such as wrestling. Since their bodies were exposed, ancient Greek wrestling was practiced by nude athletes, their genitals were exposed to view. This gave rise to a surprising fashion trend in first century Judea. Boys seeking to have their circumcisions surgically reversed. They wanted to be men of the world, not of backwater, dusty Palestine. Influential Jews wanted to hobnob with Roman society, made all the more accessible in a world which spoke Greek and which upheld ancient Greek and Roman values, which everybody knew. This helps us to understand the crossroads that boys encountered as they approached the age of adult life and career. Many wish to embrace their Roman citizenship. What does Paul say? I am a Roman citizen. And become successful in Roman terms. One of these career paths was to become a member of the Societas Publicanorum, called publicans, whose duties included tax collection. Publicans entered the upper echelon of Roman society, becoming patricians of the equestrian class, just below the senatorial class. By the time of Jesus, the stereotypes of the hated tax collector had mostly receded. In previous times, the tax collector was little more than a, quote, protection racket mobster, unquote. He competed with other men, submitting bids to the Roman Senate. The most attractive bid granted a license to steal. He could demand any level of taxation he wanted, so long as the Senate received their agreed-upon sum. In fact, the tax collector had to pay the year's taxes to the Senate up front, and then collect whatever he thought he could manage to extract from the people. No limit. Meantime, the Senate, having borrowed these monies from the tax collector, also paid him interest for what was in effect a loan. Opportunities for corruption were obvious, pitting collaborator Judeans against their own families and friends. Moreover, publicans managed large public works projects all over the empire, I should say, supplied needed material and provisions to the Roman legions, and loaned money at high rates of interest. They lived in sumptuous villas, had ranks of servants, and entertained important Roman guests. But Augustus Caesar, seeing this stinking hole of political corruption drain the swamp, He instituted a flat tax of 1% levied against real property and income across the entire empire. The days of the freewheeling publican were over. Two or three generations had passed before Jesus' three-year ministry, after the emperor's tax reforms. The publican continued to hold the social status of equestrian class. He remained a high-visibility public servant, but as a tax collector, he was merely responsible for administrating a flat tax, which was well known to all landowners and businessmen. Yes, he might collude with certain wealthy taxpayers to hide assets from the government, as people do today, but he was no longer the arch-fiend figure of yesteryear. Zacchaeus, therefore, might be seen as the boy who simply chose worldly life rather than godly life. Certainly, in the context of the secular business place, corruption is as old as business itself and will continue until the end of the age. But in the life of one young man, something happens. With the heart of the spry boy he once was, he climbs a tree and gazes into the face of God, who alone is good. Worldly success suddenly seems not so important. The callus that had covered his heart splits open again to reveal pink flesh, the flesh of his childhood. All this the Lord of life plainly sees and reads in Zacchaeus's character, prompting him to declare, "Zacchaeus, I will meet with you in your home." That is, he ratifies a meeting that has already occurred. What happens during this meeting, we might say? Nothing. Nothing happened, for it had already taken place, and in a twinkling, up in that tree, Zacchaeus, the boy inside the man, went back. He went back to the place where he had gotten off track. He pledges that he will repay those he cheated and that he will sell half of everything he has and give it to the poor. There was no counseling session. There would be no schedule of suffering to expiate his moral guilt. There was only this. Now, today, Jesus says, salvation has come to this house. Salvation. Today, just do it. Go back to your own innocence, for the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.